The government is to start talks with island communities about how to safeguard their future. It says this will lead to the first national policy on offshore islands for almost a quarter of a century. In the region of 2,700 people live on the islands. Many of them say this consultation is long overdue. Avril Ní Chearcaí is the manager of the Aran Islands Energy Co-op. She spoke to our reporter Tommy Mescal and explained some of the issues facing island communities.
Across all of the islands, they're all quite different. We're very, very lucky here on the Aran Islands that we have quite a strong tourism industry. Not all of the Irish islands could say the same. But I suppose we have lots of different issues in common. So some of those might be transportation, they might be infrastructure and things like that. I also think that climate change and sustainability is a massive challenge for the islands. We've been working very hard, I suppose, on that for the Aran Islands, and there's been great progress to date. But for example, we're finding it very, very difficult to have contractors come out to the island to do work. In the last number of years, we haven't been able to do any of the BEC schemes and things like that because of the extra cost involved, not only with freight and that, but also having to just put up workers on the island while they're here.
It's been a long time since the national policy was last developed, 20 years. Some would say this is an awful long time coming. What's your thoughts on that? Should this have been done sooner?
Absolutely, it should have been done sooner, but I suppose it's best maybe not to dwell on that and maybe be thankful that we'll now have an up-to-date plan that is, suitable for the 21st century, that we're, progressing and that we're taking into account important factors like climate change that I see is mentioned, and sustainability, as well as many other issues which may not have been included and might not have been so important, 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, if there had been an updated policy then.
Avril Ní Chearcaí there of the Aran Islands Energy Co-op speaking to our reporter Tommy Mescal. The Minister of State for the Irish Language, the Gaeltacht and the Islands, Sean Kine, is in our Galway studio. As we heard there, this has been a long time coming. How can island communities be sure it will make a difference to their lives?
Well, good morning, Rachel. I think it's important, first of all, to say that this is something that the islanders have requested through me. When I came back into this post of October last year, I was giving consideration to the development of a national policy, and I announced that at the AGM of Cogal na Noileán, the Island Federation, last April, that I was considering this and that we had decided to go forward with an islands policy. So I set up the interdepartmental group. We've had a number of meetings, and myself and the Thánaiste, they launched the consultation process on Shirkin Island and Cork on Saturday. So it's important that the islanders have a say and that they're fully consulted with, and it's important that we have an up-to-date plan and that this is not something that's just done every 25 years, but done every, for example, 5 years, that we get an updated policy in relation to the islands, because they are unique and special places. We want to sustain them. We want to ensure that the population survives and grows.
You say you want to ensure that the population grows. Is that realistic, given that the population of most offshore islands has been in decline?
I think it is. It's certainly easier on some of the islands than others. Some of them obviously are closer to the coast than others, and that creates challenges. So we need to ensure that the infrastructure is fit for purpose. For example, we recently increased the helicopter service to Tory. We've developed a new helipad on Tory. We're looking at Inishturk as well in relation to development of a helipad, and Inishir Pier is top of the list in terms of capital infrastructure. So things like that are absolutely necessary, but we also need to look at the other things. Obviously, all our islands would be connected as part of the National Broadband Plan, and the first phase of it, which is the connection of the hubs by the end of 2020, and this will be a very important part in terms of making the islands
livable. They need that more than most, don't they?
Absolutely. They certainly do, and I mean, we know that work will change in the future, that there'll be more remote working from home, and people who never thought that they may wish to live on an island may suddenly decide that they may wish to live on an island for their future, and that's something that obviously with broadband and high speed connectivity is something that will be possible.
So what's the time frame on this, and is the money there?
Well, the time frame in terms of the consultation is important because we need to get out to every island, and we would like to see as many ministers, senior ministers visiting islands as possible to meet with representatives to give this, if you like, the status that it deserves, to engage with the communities.
What will you be asking people then? What is it you want to hear from them?
Well, as part of the document that we've produced so far, we've gathered together all the existing policies from various, from all the government departments. We've put them together. We'll be asking island communities, if you like, to comment on that, to, if you like, to fill in the blanks and to put in the things that they would like to see, that they would like to see in terms of making the islands more sustainable and more livable, as it were, whether that be in relation to transportation, education, you know, enterprise, connectivity. All of the areas, and as has been mentioned there, for example, climate change, which wouldn't have been a consideration 20, 25 years ago.
Is the money there?
We've seen an increase within the profile for capital expenditure within the Islands Division of my department as part of Project Ireland 2040. So that is in place. But there are other government departments that will need to be able to come up with finances as well. So
are you confident that they'll do that?
Absolutely. I think the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, they're very much behind this, and you know, with the full support of Cabinet, I'm confident that we can get money behind it.
Is there a broader issue here about the treatment of rural Ireland in general? And I'm thinking in particular about all the commentary there has been in recent times about there being more and more developments in Dublin, about Dublin's problems, especially in relation to housing, getting worse and worse. Many, many areas feel that they're neglected. Do you accept that?
No, I mean, there are more people living and working in rural Ireland than there have ever been. And, you know, part of the rationale for the $3 billion National Broadband Plan announced last week was to, as I said, improve the livability of the regions of rural areas.
You know, though, as well, that there are a lot of towns in particular in trouble around the country.
Yes, there are. And we have, you know, for the first time ever, we have a rural regeneration scheme, €1 billion over 10 years through Minister Michael Ring's department, to help revitalise those areas. And as I said, you know, there's no one policy, if you like. There's a myriad of policies, such as the rural scheme, such as the National Broadband Plan, that can help to revitalise those areas. But there's no, there is no doubt that there are certain towns are challenged, and you know, that's why we want to focus on the regions, focus on rebalancing Ireland and the growth to. Not stop growth in Dublin. Obviously, it's our capital city. It's important that it grows, but that growth elsewhere would be at a higher rate. And that's what the National Development Plan and the Project Ireland 2040 is about.
I want to go back to something we were talking about on the programme a few minutes ago. This printer, which has so far cost more than €1 million, and it's still sitting unused in Leinster House. How could such a shambolic state of affairs come about?
Well, that has to be looked into, and I understand the Public Accounts Committee will be looking into that. It's important to say that the this is a Houses of the Rock, this project, not a government project. You know, obviously printing services are availed of by all TDs. So, look, I'm not sure whether this was obviously a genuine error or whatever mistake happened, but...
We're talking, though, about a very large sum of money.
Absolutely, and as I said, the Public Accounts Committee will be looking into it. I certainly hope that they can get the printer into the building, now that they've bought it, that whatever works can be done to get the printer in. As I said, this may have been obviously a genuine error, but it is a costly one, and it's important that the PAC looks into it.
There is also, it would seem, an issue about staff looking for compensation for the training involved in using this new printer. I mean, is the whole thing not a bit of a mess?
Well, again, I mean, that's a matter for the Houses of the Oireachtas. That's a separate issue from government. But obviously, if there are union issues, they have to be resolved within the realms of engagement with the Houses of the Oireachtas Commission, who are in charge of that issue. But certainly, if expenditure like that is incurred, it's important that it be put to use and that the printer be put up and running as soon as possible.
And for people listening to us this morning who see this as another example of political profligacy, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, printing services are important for all TDs. It's all TDs across all parties, and none avail of printing services within the Houses of the Oireachtas. It's a way of keeping in touch with constituents. It's an important process for part of our democracy for all TDs. And I think, you know, obviously, the decision to invest in the printer was made because they felt it was better value
it's
for money.
Incredibly
if you like.
Expensive printer, though.
Yes, it is. But there's I know from visiting the printing services in Kildare Street that they churn out a lot of stuff, and so it's something that particularly in the Dublin area where there's probably more leaflet drops and things like that of all TDs keeping in touch. So obviously they made the decision that it was good value for money. But as I said, this is a decision by the Houses of the Orthodox Commission, and as I said, the PAC is important that they do look into it.
All right, Sean Kine, Minister of State, thank you for joining us from the Galway studio this morning. It's 2 minutes to 9.